All right, we're up to Daf Yud Ches. Elai Yerashayim returns with Tchum Nivoi. These are the cities that are mutter within the Tchum, meaning that they're not part of Eretz Yisrael, and it gives a bunch of names. Tzir, Tziar, Gashmai, Zivyon, Yagdi, Chatam, Udvav, Chavasya, Uchuracha Devar, here's Rug. All right, whatever. Chaton and Simukin all of Tveria. So there was a load of raisins that came to Tveria. Shal Gamliel Zuga. This Zuga name seems to be all of a sudden became the most popular name here in the Yerushalmi. That this Gamliel Zuga asked Rabba Bar Kahana. He asked him, you know, do they need to be take Meiser from them? Amalei. In other words, are they coming from outside Eretz Yisrael or from inside Eretz Yisrael? Amalei. So Rabba said, in Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Yechad Shel Simukim, the entire Yisrael can't make up one load of raisins. So for sure they're from outside Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, in Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Yechad Shel Simukim. What sense does that make? We have a land full of grapes, so for sure. So Elo Kenom Malay, this is what he meant. Ein Mokom Be'eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Yechad Shel Simukim. There's no one place that can make up one standard load of raisins. So that means that they usually take grapes and make wine out of them, or use it as fresh fruit. They won't dry them out to make raisins out of that. Over derech klal in Eretz Yisrael, there'll be some, but not much. And therefore, a load. If you have a whole load, it's not coming from one place in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, it's probably coming from Chutz La'aretz. That's basically what the Gemara says. Okay. There you go. He brings a question in number six, and I tried to find the safer Berachas Yisrael, but I wasn't able to find it on Hebrew books. I found a different safer called Berachas Yisrael, and it had Haskama from the Brisker Rav, from the Biyosha Ber, rather, from Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi, the original, you know. And other Ramesha Sefer, very, very hush of Haskama, so I started looking at it, but it was not the Sefer. Anyway, so I am Shom, if you want to see an interesting Sefer, Berachas Yisrael on HebrewBooks.org. That's why I was late. It says, I was looking at their Shtigl Torah on Brachas Adav Hay or something. It says, a person sees his sermon, Barm will love you, Mashish, by myself. So he goes to town on this Gemara. How could it be Pishra Shalei Matzah? Bittul Torah is, of course, the highest, the most. And you see what happened? I came late to the Chabur. Pishra Shalei Matzah. Knucklehead. Chad Bar Nosh. So there was a person. Aisi Chada Ashbala de Kapleitin le Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Tavla. He brought a basket of leeks to Rabbi Yitzchak. It says here it's in the Shemitah year. Sha'al Rabbi Yochanan, so they asked him, do you have to be afraid that maybe these have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael and there is a Srichim? Malay, Puk Chal Chanan Ibn Shmuel, the Snaisa. Go ask Rabbi Yitzchak, who is like an expert in the Brises. The Snaisa, he's an expert in Brises. Nefak Shal, I say, he goes out and he asks him the question. Malay, so Chananya said to him, I don't know any brisa that's relevant to this question. Shmuel, but I do have a shmua. So it's interesting. Rabbi Yochanan was the one that told him to go ask him. And then he goes in and he tells him over that he has a shmua and he quotes Rabbi Yochanan. So it's a funny thing. Dom Rabbi Yasser, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, is Balgun Rabbi Reblaz or Rabbi Shimon? They had him as machlaikas. Chanomar Makaimai. Chanomar Mamadrai. We go after Mamadrai. So Mamadrai means you look at the place that the person who's carrying the payers came from. Mamadrai was a place where it was delivered. So obviously, if you're in a place where the place you're delivering is Pater from Maestras, so you go boss of that, and therefore it would be Pater. So it really depends on how much you're carrying. If you're carrying a small amount, if it's just a very small amount, so probably that came from locally. If you're carrying a larger amount, then it's probably from outside. That's basically the idea. Rabbi Avu Mafarish, Rabbi Yom Racha Makaimai, it was Rabbi Shimon Aymar Achar Mamadai. So in other words, before we quoted Rabbi and Rabbi Lazar, we said Chad Amar, but we didn't say who said what. So Rabbi Avu knew who said what. Okay, so Rabbi said Makaimai, Rabbi Lazar said Mamadai. Rabbi Avu Amar, Rabbi Amarachem Makomo, V'hoiri li, Ka'adod Rabbi Lozor, Rabbi Shem Nachem Amado. That Rabbi is the one that says we go after the place where it came from. But Rabbi Yechanan, we should say, V'hoiri li means Rabbi Yechanan Paskin for me, like Rabbi Lozor, Rabbi Shimon, that you go after the place that you're at. So the Gemara says, in other words, basically he's saying it's mutter. Hadot the time of the Elaine Ashlosa. That's regarding these large baskets. They're only able to cut relatively small loads, not used for transporting over long distances. Barambi Elaine to Unaya. But however, regarding the large camel loads of produce, Kalamamoide, everybody agrees, Akamakoma, you go after the Arjun because it's a large load.
Why does the size of the load determine?
It determines where we assume it came from. Large loads probably came from out of town. That's it.
They said it previously.
It says 17. Merchants transport large loads of produce from distant locations frequently. So then even Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon will agree that we go after the origin. I want to just tell you something completely on the side. It has nothing really to do with this Gemara except one little prat. I was learning Bava Kama last night with Mecha Brusa. And it says over there, if a person covers a bar, so, you have a responsibility to make a proper cover. So it says, the Gemara says like this. Gemara says a cover could be good for an ox, but it cannot be good for a camel. So if it's a place where there are a lot of camels running by and you don't make it strong enough to be able to withstand the camel, so then that's no good. You're for sure chayef. And that's basically the problem. It's not getting into all the details of the Gemara. It's obvious in the Gemara that the ox is less that's what it sounds like, right? It sounds like the weight of the ox is lighter than the camel, right?
No, it's just how it walks.
So let's go ahead and take a look at the Weber Rebbe. So you go on the internet and you look up how much does a cow weigh, and the cow weighs 1,400 pounds or 1,200 pounds, whatever. And how much does a camel weigh, and the camel weighs less. So there goes that theory. Camels actually weigh less than your cow or ox.
Mostly legs.
Okay.
Yeah, but a camel is meant to carry stuff.
Oh, so he knows the answer. So right over here, you see the way they...
So is an ox.
You see, not really. You see over here, it says, Barambi, Elaine to Unaya, regarding these large camel loads of produce. So the next question you ask the internet is, how much weight can a camel carry? Guess what their upper size? 600 pounds. 600 pounds, that's a lot. So, I just wanted to throw that in. What did you say?
Did you check how much a cow can carry?
I don't think cows carry anything.
They don't
carry anything. They pull, right. Anyway, so there you have, that's the secret to that Gemara in Bava Kama that I thought you might be interested in. Okay, how you become a mamadid heter if where he was standing and the place he came from both were outside Eretz Yisrael, v'haviro derech iser, and you brought it through a location in Eretz Yisrael, right, while you were traveling. Let's say you were traveling, very simple case we had over here, right, like you came from
Caesarea
across the Eretz Yisrael to that place, what's that place where they have all the water up the vacation.
Banyas.
So you go to Banyas. So you're going right across Eretz Yisrael where it's Malkum Chiyuv. So what's the rule? So the Gemara says, no problem. It's like you didn't, it's 100% mutter, no problem at all. So he asks the following question. How could Rabbi Yochanan Paskin like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon? We just said Rabbi Yochanan gave a heter, he passed like Rabbi Elazar Shimon, you go basar mamado, right? Against Rabbi, who says you go basar makoma, in which case it will be asar. How could he go against Rabbeinu Akash? Rabbi Yochanan himself said, lo kenom Rabbi b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi b'chaveira halacha k'rabbi, the hilchos of k'rabbi mechaveira, right? So here he's a bar plukta with only one person, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you should, right? From Rabbi Yochanan, afilu Rabbi etzel Rabbi Elazar mei Rabbi Shimon, he even said specifically that even if it's a dispute between Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, apparently it says in the footnote that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon was considered the greatest Torah scholar of his generation. That, and even so, right? Even so, Rabbi Yochanan said the halachas k'Rabbi against him. So here he went ahead and passed like Rabbi against Rabbi Blaz Rabbi Shimon. So what's going on? Amalei, so he said to Rabbi as an answer, Mat ba Rabbi Yochanan. What do you want from Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan gedate. He was following his own reason. He wasn't just looking at these two great people having a machlokas and determining that one was right over the other. No, he was saying his own opinion, which now it's really mudna. But okay. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kashi, Kiluch, Rashriyas, Hinu, Mitavrayim. This is a kula that they were make all to say that you go Basar Mamad.
Who's Rabbi?
This is Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh is from Eretz Yisrael. Where do you think he compiled the Mishnah? All Mishnah was compiled in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. Okay, so there's a question here about Rabbi Yochanan. You know, is Rabbi Yochanan a Tana? You know, like what? We have Rabbi Yochanan being Machriya against Rabbeinu HaKadosh. It's interesting, interesting discussion over here. Who it's going to be on the next page. Istaboy, we're on 18b. Istaboy lemeimar nistarfa. This is another way of putting it. He says alternatively, some say nistarfa daito Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Blazer Rabbi Shimon, that you add Rabbi Yochanan's opinion to Blazer Rabbi Shimon, and then it's no longer hilchasak harevi. It's not a Rebbe mechaveiro, but it's mechaveirov. So if you have multiples, you're not going to pass like Rebbe against multiples. Rabu al Rebbe, they outnumber him. In footnote 1, his second paragraph, it says, this is not to say that Rabbi Yochanan, who was an Amoira, could argue with Rebbe, who was a Tana. Rather, he acted as a Machriya. Not 100% sure what that means. The Gemara seems to just say that he adds up 2 against 1, so I'm not sure exactly what he's trying to say over here, Rabbi Chaim. I'm not sure. Anyway, others want to derive from here that in fact the Yerushalmi holds Rabbi Yochanan was a Tana, and he could dispute Rabbi. Unbelievable. All these years I thought Rabbi Yochanan was an Amira. Here we have a footnote that indicates he was a Tana. Can you believe this?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
There are at least two Rabbi
Yochanan
that certainly were
Tana. Okay, I understand that, but this Rabbi Yochanan is not that. They're not saying that this was. This. They're not saying that in the footnote. This footnote is not saying the Rabbi Yochanan here is Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai or something like that. It doesn't say that as one of the answers. Right. This is the state. That's your answer. Okay,
next
good.
Time I write this,
this is Geraldik. Well, add this as an Achan answer. Okay, now we have a nice Mishnah over here. I call it nice because I'm glad to get out of the first Mishnah. Okay, although the rabbinic decree of Demai, let's look at the introductory notes. Is primarily directed at produce of Ami Haaretz. It also includes produce obtained from anyone not known to scrupulously observe the laws of Mysras.
So you assume that you don't unless we know who you are as positive?
Let's take a look. So the Mishnah is going to describe the standard of behavior which a person has to commit to in order to be considered a Neman. Okay, we're not talking about being a chaver. We're talking to be a non-am ha'aretz, that you are a neman, that if I take food from you, I don't have to be worried about it, because I can assume that you took the maizers.
So it's not innocence and proven guilty. It's, you got to prove to me.
You got this is a certain standard. This is a fascinating gemara over here. Okay, hamakabel alias now, when a person accepts upon himself to be trusted. So what does he have to do? Maizer es shuvokal. He has to take maizer when he eats. We're going to see this detail in the Gemara. Eshehu mocher, what he sells. Eshehu lokech, what he buys. Now, I just want to just tell you one thing in advance. To say that if I grow something in my garden and that I have to take miser on it before I eat it, that doesn't even have to be said. For that, not only a Mishnah, that's pashut. So therefore, none of these can mean that. So that's just a given, and with that, we'll see the Gemara in a second. You also don't make yourself a guest by the Hamaretz, because if you're going to be hosted by an Hamaretz, no doubt he will serve you something which is not Mu'usar. And no doubt you will eat it. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, HaMasarach Eitzel HaMaretz, no. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. No.
That second part doesn't. Why is that so question? Why can't
you? Okay. So that's the Machlokes here. So Rabbi Yehuda must hold that he wouldn't necessarily eat it, or Rabbi Yehuda holds that because of the close relationship they have, he will take maestros for him, and he won't feed him something wrong. Or the third possibility is that he'll take a maestros himself somehow or other in a way in which he won't embarrass his host. You got all kinds of different possibilities here exactly. We're going to see in a second. It's actually a big machlokes in the Gemara how to learn this. So Rabbi Huda again says that Hamasarach Yitzchak Ha'aretz is now on. He is believed. On Mulai, so the Chacham said to Rabbi Huda, Al-Atzmai Eino Neman, he's not believed on himself, because he's going to Ha'aretz's house and they're assuming he's eating. He's eating. So if he's eating, so how could he be Neman? That's the question. So how can he be believed on other people? If you're interested in hearing an interesting discussion about this in greater detail, listen to the Halachic Headlines from, what's his name? Lichtenstein. Last week's, this past Sunday's, was all about this question of how to deal with people who are not from at all, whatever, and so on and so forth. And he interviews various Rabbanim, people from Lubavitch who are faced with this question all the time. And he has a long arichas over there, and you'll be nenem oid, and you'll see how it ties right into our Mishnah. So not only do we tie into the Daf Yomi, we even tie in to halachic headlines. I just want to show you how much hashgacha practice there is in halachic headlines. So the Gemara asks the question, Ma es shehu lokech, what does the Mishnah mean when he buys, that he has to take maaser for when he buys? Amanas lecho? Does that mean the stuff he's buying, like in the supermarket, to take home to eat? Hatanina neshuhu ochel. It says you have to take maaser from what you eat. So obviously, how do you think you got that to begin with? You bought it, right? So what does it say? What are these two categories? What you eat and what you bought. That's the Gemara's kasha. My answer is ella eshuhu lokeach amanas lemkar. What you're buying doesn't mean you're buying it to eat. You're buying it to sell. Well, it says already what you're going to sell as well. So we're getting ourselves into a trap here, right? We're getting into an endless loop of unnecessary statements. Hello. So now the Gemara comes to a conclusion of how to learn the Mishnah. That which he's buying. Amanas limkor. He's buying it not with the intention of eating it. He's buying it with the intention of selling it. So you might think that you don't, when you do a Kabbalah, to become a Naaman, of course you're going to have to take Maisers for you. You're not allowed to sell something which is not Moser to somebody, especially if they're not Zohar in it. But what it means is maybe when you make a Kabbalah, which is what this Mishnah is talking about, that to be considered a Naaman, you have to have certain Kabbalah. So that's a certain level. What is it that I'm a Kabbalah that I'm never going to violate? And once I do that Kabbalah, it's enough. So you might think that's only if it's something which I'm buying to sell. I'm not slim car. But eshehu mocher, what he sells, that's not a redundancy. Mi peres michnoso, that's the stuff that he brought from his own property. So the Mishnah is telling me that every case over here, regardless of how I'm going to sell it, whether I buy it to sell it or whether I grow it to sell it, I have to take maaser from it. Not only do I have to take maaser, but I have to be makabel, and I'm always going to take maaser from these. That's part of what my requirement is, okay?
I think I saw earlier it said you have to do that in front of two witnesses.
You actually, the Kabbalah, you are correct. In the Mishnayos, in the Yad Avram, whatever it's called, in the article Mishnayos, so it says over there, you have to makabel this Kabbalah in front of three people. In front of three people, and there have to be two witnesses that witness your Kabbalah in front of these three people. So there's actually five people involved.
Three being a
Bezdin. And two being Edus that know that you're a Makabal. So you're right. It has to be two people, and there also has to be three people. It's like a combination of things. That's what he writes. I didn't look into it. I just saw it very briefly. I don't know the details. It could be that there's a Machlokas about it. I don't know. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So the Gemara says, Tani Yam Rabbi Yehuda, Mehen Shabbalai Batim. He's gonna respond to the question that Chachamim asked him in the Mishnah, that if he's not Neman on himself, how could he be Neman on Lacherim? So his response is like this, very interesting response. Mehen Shabbalai Batim, Lo Nimlu Liyus Mesarchim Eitz Shabbalai Batim Chavereihim. That we know, this is like, just like a Davar Pashut. You know, like, I'm going to go eat at all your houses if you invite me over. I'm going to eat by your houses regardless of your status because you're my friends, right? I'm not going to say, oh, no, I can't eat by you. Which, you know, every Rav faces this challenge, you know. What are you going to do, Rabbi, when one of your congregants, I'm talking about out-of-town Rabbanim, of course, when one of your congregants invite you over for a meal, what are you going to do? So most of them say, in order to avoid this issue, I just have, it's a matter of policy, never to eat out from anybody. That way I don't get involved in you yes, you no. But over here, they're saying not that way. Here they're saying they never, that's what Rabbi Huda is saying, they never stopped. So what does that mean? What does that mean, right? So now number 16. So we see that people who had committed to be scrupulous, indeed remain scrupulous with the produce in their own homes, despite the fact that they eat at the homes of Ami Haaretz. A person who's hosted by an Ami Haaretz should not forfeit the legal status of becoming trustworthy so that his produce should be considered demai. Now that's very interesting. In other words, he's saying a big kiddush over here. He's going to eat the... He could be, he's not... It's like being from at home and not on the outside, kosher at home and not kosher outside. But as far as his nemonis is concerned, he should not lose his nemonis as a result of that. Because that's what people did. That's what it seems to say over here. Okay? There's apparently another way to read the Gemara, which we're going to see later. We'll see tomorrow or the day after. Now. The chaverim, people who are friendly with Ami Haaretz, are not suspected of actually eating demai, and that's why they're not suspected of feeding the food to others. In other words, he holds, like we were saying before, that when they go to the house, they're not going to actually eat.
Is this a chaver like we know from before?
This is chaverim. Again, I was careful to translate it here. He translates chaverim here, people who are friendly with Ami Haaretz. It does not mean your traditional chaver. In other words, if you take a look at Maro Foldo, you'll see the same thing. Chaverehem, Klemmer, chavero harogilbo, his friend who is, you know, accustomed to going to, vuhu Ami Haaretz. Okay? So they're not kosher to eat, not to feed. So in 19, it says like this. When he eats, this is very interesting. When he eats at the home, he in fact remains scrupulous. And he does not eat the demai. Rather, he tithes the produce himself before eating it. So that's number one. Alternatively, he eats the food because he knows the host will tithe it before serving it because of his friendliness. Either way, he is not eating it himself. Okay? Now, from Rabbi Yonah's explanation, this is an important footnote over here. It leads to an important conclusion, which is, if we knew that you did eat the mai, according to Rabbi Yonah, then you lose it. Then you will lose it. You will indeed lose your status, right? Now, the second, that's Rabbi Yonah. Second one is, I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, Chaverim chashurim lechol v'inu chashurim lehachol. People who are friendly will taco are suspected of eating it themselves, but they won't feed it to others.
So if they eat it, they're still.
So if they eat it, they won't lose the status according to. So that'll be the machlokas, right?
So,
yeah, what he says over here is in 20, this is unbelievable. We see people who are hosted in Ami Haaretz, in fact, remain scrupulous regard to tithes at home. Therefore, we are forced to explain they eat the money in the homes of Ami Haaretz only because they are embarrassed to decline the food or to tithe it themselves. So it's very interesting. They're embarrassed. Very interesting. I just want to point something out over here. A Rosh Cirilo, which is unbelievable. Doctor, you have to hear this. Avav Kane. No, I'm going to hold you. I just want to quote this. He says, Almo de emaf sinim nem en rusum bakach. They don't lose an amoros. Lefisha ein adam yochel his rache kolkach mechaveiro. Vetzorach lechol lefa'amim imo. A person can't be merachik himself so much from his friends. He sometimes has to eat with them. He just hasn't. There's just no choice in the matter.
Where was that?
That's Rash Cirillo. Take a look at the bottom. It starts in the bottom line in the right column, and it goes into the next column. It's a fantastic place. Okay. Yeah, now last line, well, the last line of the page we'll do now, right? Masnisa pligar Rabbi Yossi. But our Mishnah contradicts Rabbi Yossi, right? Rabbi Yossi is saying that what, that he's going to talk if he's not going to eat it. Now, our Mishnah contradicts him. Why? Omu loya, last one on them, that from the Tanakhama's question to Rabbi Yossi, to Rabbi Yehuda rather, the fact that he heard their question, he didn't object to their question. So that means he accepted their question. That means the fundamental logic of the Tanakhama he agrees with, that if he eats the mai, then Hitaka would not be Naaman. That contradicts Rabbi Yossi, who says that even if he eats it, he's still Naaman. Okay, Ad Kan, that's the end of Daf Yud Ches. We'll see you tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. Do Daf Yud Ches.